The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning. Tune in to Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We are grateful. We do appreciate it. I mean that sincerely every morning. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland.
Yo.
Yeah, your mic's got to be on.
I hit the wrong button.
That's all right. That's good. We'll get better. We'll get better as the show goes on. On the show today, Paul Carr off a 3-0 start to his Premier League season. He threatened to retire at that moment, and we were like, no, you can't retire after 3-0.
Yeah. So I've got an aggressive Paul Carr text. Let's see. It was, he threatened to retire, says, I'm just gonna, now I'm good. I'm just going to call it a season at 3-0. I got a graphic order from him, which was good.
Oh, my,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, it was like, hey, make sure you get this together.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Paul's coming up. Premier League week coming up, or week two, we should say. Zach Cohen on the U.S. Open. I got my U.S. Open preflops that I'm going to talk about here momentarily. Chris Felica on college football week zero and beyond, whatever else he's betting. And Kelly and I are going to do top overrated and underrated NFL teams today, based on season win total, correct? So these are the, we're going to each pick three teams that we feel based on season win total are overrated, three that are underrated. That doesn't mean that we necessarily have a bet on all of them, but that was the task. Come up with three on each side.
I wanted to do it to extend it beyond just what we had bet.
Yes.
Right? So what other teams do we think could potentially exceed or fall short of their win total the most?
Yeah. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the matter at hand. 2 years ago, I casually mentioned on air that here on a numbers game, we were at the South Point at the time, and I mentioned, oh my God, I had some great sushi last night. It was the best sushi I've ever had. And Kelly said, what's the name of the place? And I said, oh, I'm not telling you.
Where'd you go?
I'm not telling you. I don't want to keep it for myself. It's called gatekeeping. The kids call that gatekeeping. And Kelly could not believe. By the way, I didn't tell him off air. My dear friend Kelly, I didn't tell him. I didn't tell anybody. And so it became a thing. And for 2 years now, we've had nothing but tweets every day.
Yep.
At least a handful of tweets about what's the place.
I'd like to believe that I played it cool on air at first, but then we went to commercial break, and I was like, all right, man, where'd you go?
Pissed, yes.
Yeah, tell me now. It's just me
I wouldn't
and you.
Tell him.
You wouldn't tell him. Tell him.
I didn't tell Crack. Crack couldn't believe I wouldn't tell anybody. we were doing these monthly baseball bets. Now we're 2 years forward. We're doing these monthly baseball bets. And a gentleman on Twitter, this is the last day of the Astros June bet that I had at 25-1 and 17-1. And they had to win, and the O's had to lose at night, and the Astros were in this rain delay, and they, like, you know, there was a point in extra innings where they should have lost their game to the Mets, and somehow miraculously they won. But at some point in there, someone said, will you reveal the name of the sushi place if the Astros win this bet for you? And I said, absolutely, I would. And the Astros go on and they win June. And when we came back, I said on air that Monday, I was like, the next day, I was like, okay, we're going to do this with one caveat. If the proprietors of the place do not want me to, right? Mm-hmm. And we've said this many times through the months and the
no, you have
the
been
weeks
great
since.
About cautioning people with it. Crack and I thought you've been ridiculous the whole time, that there is no way this restaurant wouldn't want the promotion.
I hope you all aren't mad at me. But yesterday we went, and when I say we, I mean I blindfolded Kelly, Matt Brown, and Mike Somish, the co-host of The Handle here weekends at VSiN, threw them into the trunk Scooby-Doo style. Kelly's tough in the trunk with these guys. They don't know where we went, and we went to the place, and I explained all of this to them, right? They didn't know. I was just the quiet guy there with a couple of my buddies,
right.
One of my brother and a buddy there. I didn't really say much. And so we explained everything to them. They did a little translation thing to the proprietors, and they requested respectfully that I do not give out the name of the place. And Kelly, and by the way, here's Matt Brown tweeting this morning. Matt Brown, we did not ask him to tweet this, by the way. He went ahead and did so himself. I, Matt Brown. This is like an affidavit. I, Matt Brown, can certify the below to be truthful and accurate. Bullet points. Sushi place does exist. Second, as good as advertised. Third, limited number of seats. Fourth, what does he say here?
Spreading
the word was asked about, and the very gracious owners, and they were very gracious. They came over multiple times, said they were at capacity, and they just would respectfully ask that I not do that.
And I can second or third this. I don't know if I fully believed it was. I don't want to say I didn't believe you, but
you didn't believe me.
You needed to see it first, where it's like, yeah. Oh yeah, no, Gil's right. This is small. This is small. I mean, what were there? There's a sushi bar with like four seats and what, four tables maybe?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
And you also did it. Also, when something like this happens, the hype usually outweighs the result. And you would say
it was awesome. It was great. It was amazing. We had a great time.
Yeah.
I mean, great people, great food, great times all around. Gil and Mike Somich fell more deeply in love with each other's appreciation of quality sushi. Matt and I sat on the other side of the table, and I feel like we looked down upon for our sushi roll orders.
Well, Somich and I are Californians, and so there's a certain air and snobbishness to our sushi love.
Oh, yeah.
And then you guys are the savages.
I lived there for 5 years, too, but oh, gosh, yes, the judgment that was coming from that side of the table. They didn't even have to say anything.
Thank God you were there, Somich. Anyway, I apologize. I hope that I said this caveat enough that you'll understand that this was always a possibility. This was supposed to be the sushi reveal. I'll reveal 2 and 3 later on the show, if that interests you. Number 2 and number 3.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. But I'm sorry.
Man, we had a ton last night too. Like there was a ton.
It's a feast.
Usually takes a while, I think, for Gil to trust someone like this. But Mike was like, Mike just wanted to order some things. He kind of looked over at Gil. Gil's like, I trust you. You're doing a great job. Just keep ordering away. Yeah. And just more and more stuff kept coming.
I did the initial, and then I was like, you wanna have a stab at it? He went on. So anyway.
I had prepared such a, like, I feel so bad from a production standpoint for the fans of the show, though, because like I had prepared great videos on the outside.
You did.
I got pictures, all this stuff, but. The owners would prefer us not to share.
Again, I apologize, but out of respect to the owners, and we do have a subset of listeners that are thrilled by this. By the way, we've had some listeners who are like, "Please don't give it out; it's a thing." So it will always remain the secret sushi.
Yeah. Thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was great, and it was definitely a part of Vegas that I am never in. Like never in.
No, whatever
it
is. Okay, there's no artful segue to this. And we'll say this the next hour, too, for those who missed this. But no artful segue to this. But they did have the U.S. Open draw, United States Open tennis draw, right after the show yesterday. So Drew Zach and I, Zach Cohen, Drew Dinsick from Whale Capper on Twitter, and, of course, from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast, Zach, who works at, Zach does Tennis Channel podcast, by the way. And by the way, Zach will join us momentarily with his U.S. Open thoughts. But we did the podcast. We waited actually a few minutes for the draws to come out. Tennis, let me just say this, what I said on the podcast. Tennis has the decency, more than any other sport, to, and they don't do this on purpose, I don't think, but it works out this way. They confine the slam season. There is tennis after the U.S. Open. It's indoor hard courts, and there's a WTA and an ATP final. But the slam season is, okay, we're in the NFL playoffs now. We'll have an Australian Open, and we'll begin the slam season of tennis. Oh, wait a minute. The football season's about to start? Okay. We'll time it so that the men's final is the first Sunday of the NFL season, and then have at it, football. So this is also the beauty of tennis. So I made a couple bets about a week ago. You can actually get a better number on Iga Swiatek to win the ladies' side. I got plus 320. You can get her like plus 375, plus 340. I mean, shop around. You'll get a better number than I will. Her hard court numbers are still better than anybody else's by margin. Hate to say it, but they are. And I do have an Iga Carlitos parlay at plus 950 as well. Those are the ones that were, sort of done before yesterday. Now, yesterday the draw came out. I don't have anything on the men's side. I think it's top heavy. I think it's largely one of these situations in men's tennis where the favorites are the favorites. And, Zach has a play on the men's side, which you'll get to. And I kind of endorse it. But I didn't ultimately pull the trigger. Where I did when I ran the numbers is in women's Q2 and women's Q3. So not the Iga quarter, not the Arena Sabalenka quarter, but the ones in between. So Q2, which would essentially, for our purposes, be called the Elena Rybakina quarter. And Elena Rybakina just fired her coach as she hasn't been practicing. She's been a mess all season. I'm not backing her, but we ran the numbers. Karolina Mukova ended up being a bet for me at 10-1. Karolina Mukova, who was a French Open finalist a couple years back, but 10-1 was a play. And it sprinkled a little sum on Anna Kalinskaya at 21-1. So Karolina Mukova at 10-1, Anna Kalinskaya at 21-1 were a couple bets on the women's side in Q2. By the way, the numbers also showed some value on Yulia Putintseva at 25-1, but I did not bet that. Ultimately, I just wanted to confine it to
who's
those
top
two.
Of that quarter? Like, who's
Elena Rybakina?
Oh, Rybakina.
Yeah. Q3, which is, you know, de facto, we'll call it the Coco Gauff quarter. And Coco, as we've documented on this show, she's just having all kinds of problems with the forehand. But she is the defending champion, It should be noted. The play was on Paula Badosa. Paula Badosa's numbers are just as good as Coco's, and in fact, six-month numbers are even better than Coco's. Took her at plus 550. The lovely and talented Paula Badosa from Spain at plus 550 in Q3. There was value also shown in that quarter per the numbers on Vika Azarenka at 20-1, but I did not play that. I did not play it, so I confined it to those three bets, two in women's Q2, Mukova and Kalinskaya, and then one on Q3, which is Badosa. Zach has plays on the men's side, though, as well. He's coming up with some. So he's got a quarter play that you may find interesting as well. So the U.S. Open, which is just a spectacular 2 weeks of tennis, begins on Monday. So by the time we're here Monday morning, it will have already started East Coast time. So I want to get those in, and we'll get them from Zach in a bit. Paul Carr is standing by, however. 3-0, opening week Premier League. He's the dude that just moves the chains every year. In soccer betting, as we documented last week. We see if he can move them some more forward on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Cavalcade of tweets begins. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Zach Cohen standing by. Let's see here. What do we got on tweets? Joe C. Sushi spot. Oh, no, I can also confirm. Very limited seating. Very reasonably priced. Very good sushi coming from someone that lives in SoCal. Hashtag a numbers game. Joe was the... We had to send Joe out on a recon mission earlier, so he knows as well. Teasers and players. Late line movement. The sushi location is right before the show. He goes, late line movement after the Matt Brown tweet. The sushi location will not be disclosed out of respect to the owners. In lieu of this, let's have the eggnog challenge.
Nope, never
bring
again.
It back.
Never again.
It's an old primetime action gag.
I don't regret doing it necessarily, but I haven't had a sip of eggnog since, so... I don't know that I will for the rest of my life.
This is from Gil's guy. So this is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know how I could trust Gilly with anything anymore. Wow, I'm devastated. This might be the end of a numbers game as we know it. I like Gil's guys, by the way. This one is from, let's see, what's the next one here? Let's read a couple more. Rick Ollier. No sushi? This is an outrage. I'm going to head downstairs to the McDonald's to eat my feelings. At least I know that Mickey D's of the D will always be there and never let me down. Okay. Mickey D's is gone on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's right. I've had my last hash browns at this McDonald's. And we'll read one more here, and then we'll move on. Logic 3227. Got to keep the sushi spot as a running theme. You should pick a date, and every year on that date, ask them if they've changed their minds and will let you reveal it. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'll do that.
That is a good idea.
I'll do that. We'll make it National Sushi Day. Oh, one more here? Hoops by Hoots. ANG now stands for Angry Nigiri-less Gamblers. Hashtag, come on, man. Sorry. I just got to respect him. Ladies and gentlemen, he is part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. He also does podcasts for the Tennis Channel as well. It's the great Zach Cohen, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Zach?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Doing very well, man. Doing very well. Okay. Thank you, by the way, for doing the podcast yesterday, the Beating the Book Tennis podcast, the U.S. Open preview. You gave out some stuff on there. Do you want to give out something on the podcast or something beyond the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I gave out Alexander Zverev to win the tournament at 12-1. I think you could still get that at 11-1. I would still take it. He has probably one of the tougher draws of the top players, but I just kind of trust him on a hard court because of that serve. I also think he's in really good physical condition. Also, quietly, nobody has won more matches than Alexander Zverev in 2024. I know that obviously Grand Slam success has kind of eluded him at this point in his career. He has not won a major yet, but I do think it's going to come. You know, if he gives himself enough bites at the apple, I think that it's going to happen. And I do think that he has a really good opportunity to do it here, you know, not being on the Alcaraz and Sinner side of the bracket. So that was the one that I gave out. I also gave out Jessica Pegula on the women's side, but one that I ended up adding after was Yuri Laheshka, 25-1 to win quarter four, which is the Novak Djokovic portion of the bracket.
Wow.
Obviously going to be a really tall order for him to do that. But at the same time, like, he was playing as well as anyone early in the 2024 season. He suffered an injury in Madrid, but he came back, looked pretty good in Cincinnati. He lost to Francis Tiafoe there, but that was a match that I really thought he should have won. I think he choked it away because the crowd was really in Tiafoe's favor. It was a grueling physical match. I think that if he were not playing Tiafoe with that crowd, he probably wins that match. At the same time, he's a powerful, powerful player with a big serve. I think that these conditions in New York do suit him pretty well, and I also like his draw up until the part of the tournament where he would play Djokovic, which would be in the quarterfinals. So I like his chances against a Rublev, against a Dimitrov. I just think that's a way too big of a number for a player that was playing so well early in the year.
Who's your hunch on the ladies' side? Just if I said who's winning it, your response would be?
I really think Pegula is going to win. Not even just at the number. I think she's going to win the tournament. I think that she is playing just as well as anyone right now. We saw her win in Toronto. We saw her nearly beat Sabalenka in Cincinnati. I think that she was fatigued by the time that came around because she had played so much tennis in the 2 weeks prior and played a lot of physical matches in the 2 weeks prior. But I think she's playing really well. She's serving well. That was kind of her big thing. You know, at the beginning of the year, she took some time off to really work on that serve. She changed her team. And I also just like her, you know, baseline game with her, you know, flat strokes on the baseline, her ability to defend. I just think that, yeah, I think she has got as good of a shot as anyone. So the fact that you can get it at 12-1 is really enticing.
Kelly, did you want to chime in on anything on that?
I'm just glad to hear Zach's backing her because, you know, she needs every penny she can get. And a win would be big for her future here. So, yeah.
Thanks.
Just always worried.
Thanks for the chime in. I know you're always very concerned about her and her $7.5 billion fortune.
Navarro's right. Playing in Monterey right now, so she needed to play a tournament bet too.
Oh, we're
jump
watching
change, Zach.
Yeah, $1.5 billion. It's nothing. Yeah, I'm watching that right now. I couldn't believe. I was like, "Is this live? It is live." Yeah. Okay. College football. You added some season longs.
Yeah, so I had what I put in the guide. I have a bunch of futures in the guide. So if you still have not downloaded that, there's a lot in there that you are going to see. I believe we have like 50-plus best bets from all of our VSIN hosts and analysts. So still plenty of reasons to download that. But I added five plays on the website with the one that I'm probably most excited about being SMU over 8.5 wins at +120 odds. I think that I saw a lot of people are really high on SMU, especially people that we work with. But I'm starting to drink that Kool-Aid now, too. I just think it's a team that returns most of the talent from last year. I think that there's going to be 15 players with starting experience back from last year's team. It was a team that was 14th in the nation in EPA per play on offense, 8th in the nation in EPA per play allowed on defense. And I just don't really think that the jump up from the AAC to the ACC is as big as people think, especially with their schedule. I just think that they're going to be playing their toughest game will be at home against Florida State. They play a road game against Louisville. Those are really the only two games that when you look at their schedule that you could really see them losing. And they would have to lose four games for this play not to hit. So I just kind of look through these schedules and look for losable games, and I just don't really see it with SMU. I definitely don't see three. So the fact that it's available at over 8.5 at plus money, I think that's a gift. I really, really like this team heading into the season. I think they have a really good quarterback, good coaching, and just loaded on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, you are right though. Again, Texas under is sort of the most consensus play I think we've heard this offseason. But there is a lot of love for SMU, right? There is definitely some consensus to that as well. Anything else from college football?
I added Alabama to make the playoff at +100. I gave out in the guide Alabama to win the national championship, which is a bit more of a long shot. It was play on a number just because, when Saban was supposed to coach that team, it was only like +650, +700. Now it's all the way at, +1400, +1500. So I don't think that the drop off from Saban to DeBoer was worthy of that big of a drop off in the odds. I think DeBoer is an unbelievable coach, but that still was a longer shot. I wanted to have a little skin on Alabama and something a little more realistic. So I went with the to make the playoff, because I do think that if they win 9-10 games and they do fall short of winning 11, which is what I think they're going to win, they'll still make the playoffs, because I think we're going to see the SEC get 3-4 teams in. And that might be a conservative guess, honestly.
What do you think? I mean, obviously, this is the first year of the 12-team playoff. We've all been, I don't want to say all, because some never wanted to see this, but most folks wanted to see this happen. And from a betting standpoint, right, from a handle standpoint, it is going to be spectacular. It's more games for us to bet on. It's awesome. However, do you anticipate that that first group of games, so some teams will get the bye, right? But then that first group of games is just going to be a collection of lopsided, you know, 20-point spreads, and it's actually from just a fan standpoint is actually going to land with a thud?
I don't think so. I think that there's a lot of really good teams in college football this year. I think that there's more parity than people might expect. So I think we're going to see some really good first round matchups. I also think, you know, those games are going to be played on the campuses,
yep,
which is going to give that's going to be awesome. Selfishly, as a Wisconsin fan, 12 teams is the only way I'll ever see my team in there. So that's something that's good. But yeah, I think it's going to be mostly good for the sport. And I think that, like, there were some teams that, you know, we've seen in previous years that could have beaten some of the powerhouses, or, you know, the perceived powerhouses. So I think we're finally going to get those teams, you know, getting a shot is a good thing.
That in and of itself will be interesting to see how that goes that time of year on college campuses with students being out. And it'll be very interesting to see how that goes just from a spectator standpoint. Zach, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Zach Cohen, by the way, check out the tennis podcast if you want to know all the bets for the U.S. Open. Drew Dinsick, Zach Cohen, and myself, again, at the Beating the Book Tennis U.S. Open Preview, which is out now. And about the college football betting guide, if you haven't had the time to handicap the start of the college football season, lucky for you that this guide is out, and it has been out, packed with everything you need to dominate, from in-depth previews of all 134 teams to a preseason top 25, power ratings, proven betting systems, and more. The guide is your ultimate resource for college football. But that is not all. When you become a Beeson Pro subscriber today, you'll also receive our NFL betting guide, plus instant access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our betting splits. Sign up today. Get all the tools, trends, and tips you need to crush your bets throughout the entire college football and NFL seasons for just $175. That is it. Or start your monthly subscription for just $19 and experience how VSiN can elevate your betting game. Start betting smarter today. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Matt Eumanns, Zach, Adam Burke, they always do a spectacular job with not only the guides this year, but every single year in every single sport that they do.
Yep.
You're part of the NBA guide, mm-hmm, I believe, as well. So, just great stuff.
Yeah, we got an updated NFL one coming out soon, too. We had an all punch-in board plays for that. So, yeah, a lot of stuff will be coming out here.
We will go into the NFL bag next. Three underrated, three overrated, based on season win totals. Kelly and I will take a stab at that. That's on the other side, and more of your sushi tweets. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, I neglected to give out my two tennis picks yesterday on the show. They ended up splitting minuscule, very minute gain. Both were dogs. I have two today. One is, I don't know if the price is as good as it was last night. Again, VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport that there's a bet in for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. I am on the ladies' side for the second straight day. I am on McCartney Kessler. McCartney Kessler, there's a country club name for you, Kelly. McCartney Kessler.
Yeah, I've struggled with this one the past couple of days.
Plus,
it's like Ricky Bobby with two first names. You got two last names.
She was actually at a worse price this morning. Now she's at a better price than I had her. I got her plus 143 last night against Anastasia Potapova. She's plus 150-ish right now. So you get a better price on Kessler. And then Paulo Carreño Busta is on the men's side. This is in Winston-Salem. He's a little worse. He's minus 115 than the minus 109 that I got him at against Alex Mickelson. That is still playable at that price. So Kessler and Carreño Busta are the two plays. These are probably the last ones before the U.S. Open. We get tweets at Beating the Book real quick. Let's run through a few of these. I wonder what these will be about, sushi-wise or otherwise. This will be from Buddhist Man. Oh, we love Buddhists. I love the use of there's no artful segue to this, but as if not releasing Secret Sushi's location is comparable to an untimely death or the latest Wander Franco news. Yes, I know. That's true. This is from, we got to throw these, Steve the Proxy. The day Gil and Kelly are called into Bill Ady's office and told, guys, A&G is so good, we're finally moving you to Circa. Gil responds, no thanks, we prefer Bob Seger cigarettes and coffee-stained tables. That's the equivalent of this shameful sushi news. This is from Jamie Leva, who says, sushi snobs eating with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin, the sushi savages. I'm crying. Have a great day, gentlemen. Bosch in Chicago. Penalizing Man City in NFL terms would be like the Chiefs being penalized. Both have dominated their respective leagues and are the ones everyone is trying to knock off the mountaintop. Man City should be stripped of their titles and relegated. Bosch is very adamant about that. All right, we'll get to more coming up. Three overrated, three underrated National Football League teams. These are based on season win totals. This does not necessarily mean we have a bet. We'll stipulate where we do and where we don't. My overrated, Kelly, I will start with that. I do have bets on the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, to the under. Pittsburgh Steelers season win total is at 8.5. I've got them under 8. I've got them under 7.5. We have stated reasons ad nauseum as to why this is, beginning with their unbelievably ridiculous schedule. But we piled on even more with it earlier in the week with the Bill Barnwell stuff about how, you know, what their record was in one score games, not only last year, but the last 3 years, quite frankly, how they played multiple backup quarterbacks last year, how they had unbelievable turnover luck as well. So the Steelers' superpower is just in those respects, there's a lot of unsustainability to all that. So I believe 8.5. Clearly, I backed it up with bets. 8.5 makes them the most overrated based on season win totals. I got the Giants overrated at 6.5, Kelly, as well. The New York Football Giants, and again, I can't recommend the Hard Knocks, the preseason Hard Knocks, or they call it the offseason Hard Knocks, I guess, enough on the New York Giants. They managed to survive on offense last year by recovering an unsustainably high percentage of their fumbles. They fumbled 24 times. They recovered 17 of them. So there was a lot of smoke and mirrors to what they did last year. Again, the naked eye watching these games doesn't pick up on this, but analytics sees all. Remember the year before when Brian Daboll got the coach of the year, I didn't think he deserved it. For as great an X and O's guy as he is, they just performed really well inside the 20s, both on offense and defense, to a point that didn't, you know, in a way that didn't exist inside the 20s. That's not sustainable from year to year. It all begins with Daniel Jones, and that contract is just absolutely an albatross for them. They lose Saquon Barkley. They lose Xavier McKinney on defense. They have improved the defense with Brian Burns to add him to a defensive core that has Dexter Lawrence. So they do have players on defense, obviously. Kayvon Thibodeau there as well. But I just don't think the Giants are very good. And Daniel Jones, I mean, come on. This has been a disaster for the Giants, and it hurts them in terms of losing personnel. I think any success they've had, as we've just documented, has been a lot of luck factor in there. 6.5, too high for me. And then the Bills, 9.5 is too high. Listen, I love Josh Allen, but I've talked about it. Losing Stephon Diggs may not seem like a big deal, but at least he spread the field. Their answer to that was Marquez Valdez-Scantling. All the other guys, I don't know that they spread the field and allow for the Knoxes, right, the tight ends of the world, the Dalton Kincaids that Josh Allen has so relied on through the years. We'll see if that is still available to Josh Allen in the way that it has been. So I just think Buffalo is and the Buffalo schedule, by the way, not quite as hard as Pittsburgh, but really hard as well.
That's not easy.
Those three to me, Pittsburgh, the Giants, Buffalo, those are the three most overrated season win totals.
And to your point on
overrated teams based MBS, on season win total.
Like, you know, he's hurt. They think he's going to be back for week one, but like that's kind of up in the air here still. So
anyone scaring anybody anyway.
Right. So, yeah. And like we're still talking about Marquez Valdez-Scantling. It's like we were talking about during the break, like everything we want to talk about with Brandon Ayuk, he's good. He's a really good wide receiver.
Yeah.
But this isn't like the Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb like conversation.
That's
I think.
Right.
I don't think it's exactly the same. So, you want me? I'll hit my overrated.
Yes,
we did share two of the same. No surprise there because I think we both have bets. Do you have bets on Giants?
I do not.
Okay, so
not to this moment, I do not.
Okay, so yeah. I do. I did, and I kind of went four here. I think I said three each, but I was like, you know what? three of these I have bets on, and there's a four team that I feel like for about 5 weeks now I've been like, okay, when am I going to make this bet? When am I going to make this bet? When am I going to make this bet? So Steelers, Giants, we share. I've under bets on both of them, and I think that this is, you know, especially when we're talking about this exercise, right? And it's the, okay, how much are you going to, you know, exceed your win total by or fall short by? It's probably these teams that are kind of in the mid-range here that have the best chance, right, to really fall short by a lot. I think the Steelers could. I expect the Giants to. I bet the alt under on them 5.5. The Bears, that number, I like my bet on the Bears, somehow the over just keeps getting bet on them. Like, I was looking at that yesterday. The under, because, I mean, it's up 9 to 9.5, at least at DraftKings now.
Interesting comments. So, as it related to USC about Caleb Williams, anyway, from Bob yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is this is not a knock against the Bears. I think there's no shame in being an 8-win team with a rookie quarterback in a very tough division, and that's kind of where I think they're going to be, like 7-8 wins, and just 9.5 feels very lofty to me. With and I think Caleb Williams is going to be good. Yes, I think they've made some great additions to this team. I just think we're all expecting this in year one when it might take a little bit, and that goes on to my next one with the Chargers. I mean, I think everybody who scored a touchdown for them in the past 8 years, roughly, Gil, has been traded off of this team. So I'm really interested to see who steps up for them. And I don't really know that I was thrilled at what we've seen out of Quentin Johnson and the likes, last year. So this is another one. I know we're all excited that Jim Harbaugh is there and Justin Herbert's amazing at quarterback. But I think it's going to take a little bit of time for Harbaugh to kind of get this team up and running. Now, where they benefit from is they're in an easier division, right?
Schedule's easy, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they can pick on the Broncos and Raiders a bit.
But you also make a good point about, like, we bet some of these we have in the others. Unlike, say, the U.S. Open draw comes out yesterday, I got to bet them real quick before the tournament starts. We feel like we have all offseason to make them, so inevitably we get around to some of these very late. So there are a couple that, you know, again, this is how I feel, but I haven't made the bet yet on the Giants.
You know what? I'm glad Andrew just took that schedule, though, because I'm going to make a note right now. I'm not even going to bet this preseason because there's a chance they come out of the gates 3-0.
That's correct.
Yeah, and then I'll come in with the under. So that's the – make notes on these schedules.
Most underrated based on season win totals. I feel Washington with a new regime there, not only ownership, but obviously in the coaching staff all over the place. And of course, the number two pick in the draft, Jaden Daniels. I feel like that 6.5 is too low for them. They have a wide variety of outcomes, wide variance of outcomes. I think that's too low generally. Seahawks, I've mentioned many times, 7.5, I think is too low. Mike McDonald, his defensive philosophy will take hold as the season progresses. I think that's too low on the Seahawks. And the Saints at 7.5 is really based on their schedule. Super easy schedule. Obviously got the 6 games within that division against the Bucks, the Panthers, Bucks and Falcons.
Bucks, Panthers, Falcons.
And in that division. So it's largely schedule-based, but I think that's a little too low.
Okay, I like it. We share one Seahawks. That's a play on bet on me for them to make the playoffs, although it's kind of another one. I'm like, why haven't we bet the over on the 7.5? I kind of feel like me and you both should have.
We will.
And then I got a couple. I think the Texans, man, I think their ceiling is extremely high. Maybe their floor is a little lower than where I think it's at, but, man, 9.5, I think they could soar over. And Cardinals, watch out, man. I think Kyler Murray and that offense is going to be humming along. If that defense can be halfway decent, I think watch out for the Cardinals.
Seahawks I've tackled two different ways. One, I bet Mike McDonald to win.
Right, me too.
Coach of the year. And I think the Seahawks will get there as the season progresses, so I can wait on the Seahawks, bet them in season, and adjusted season win total over. We'll come back. Chris Felica on college football week 0 and beyond. More college football bets from him. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Oh, what's Jason gonna say? It's flipped back to Paul Skeens after last night. Ho ho ho. Jason. Paul Skeens, 6 scoreless yesterday, 9 strikeouts against 1 walk. a two-hit performance, only two hits against the Pirates rookie in a 7-0 Buccos win against the Reds. By the way, our buddy Todd Wishnev had the under 4.5 first five yesterday. Under 4.5 first five. Was 0-0 with two out in the bottom of the fifth man on first.
That's brutal.
Wishnev is the author of so many bad beats, and he always outdoes himself. And this one, he's like, worst of all time. And he was at the game. At the game. We get tweets at Meeting the Book. Sam Ginsberg. The owners of the sushi place weren't giving you the whole story. The winner of the Circus Survivor contest now gets $10 million or the name and location of the sushi place. Well, one of those things is more valuable than the other.
Or
I'm going to let you decide. Brandon Kyles. Putin Seva's quarter price 32-1 on FanDuel. Worth a bet? I did not bet it, but yes, based on my numbers, there is value to that. But I couldn't bet everybody in the in that particular quarter. Kiss the Degenerate. Ha, huh? I freaking knew it. The only bad part is the sushi spot joke is no longer. Can't wait to hear the second and third spot. Oh, yeah, I got to do. Remind me to do that later on the show. We'll do that. And this is from Kevin. Your audience today, in Gil's mother's voice, we're not bad, Gilly. We're just disappointed. That's what my mom would say. Gilly, I'm very disappointed in you. 3-Jack-3-1-3-1. 3-Jack-H-3-1-3-1. Gil, who were the three quarter winners? Badosa, Kalinskaya, and Mukova. Well, they're not the three quarter winners. Badosa is in a quarter by herself. Kalinskaya and Mukova are two picks in the same quarter. Ryan Hyatt, the world's greatest unknown sushi joint will and should remain a mystery. More a legend than a fact. I would say every year at Bet Bash in Vegas, Gil should blindfold and take one numbers game listener to the Brigadoon of sushi. Kelly will, of course, always ride in the trunk. There you go.
I made such a good video, too.
Oh, one more. Joe Belicious. Hashtag tiny good sushi restaurants in Las Vegas is trending across all social media
definitely,
platforms.
Definitely, of course, yeah. It's a hot hashtag right now.
And one more. I'm sorry. Chris Valika, we're really patiently waiting by. Bentley, I'm just going to call every out-of-the-way sushi joint pretending to be you and asking to confirm my reservation until someone says yes. 40 calls a day till it hits. Good luck to you.
I like it.
Chris Felica, ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as the Bear. El Oso, for those listening in Spanish. He has Bear Bets podcast every which way. The Bear Bets pod from Fox News. From Fox Sports. Pardon me. Not from Fox News. From Fox Sports. It's Chris Felica, everybody. At Chris Felica on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, man? Sorry about that.
That's right. Not a heck of a lot. What a great weekend. U.S. Open starting next week in the draw out. Got a couple of big horse races this weekend. College football's here. It's pretty damn good right now.
Wait a minute. You said horses. Can you start with some horses for us?
Yeah, no. I'll start tonight, actually. Before we get to Saratoga tomorrow, big race tonight at Charlestown, the Charlestown Classic. Very, very big race. Skippy Longstocking, who ran at Saratoga a couple weeks back, is in the race, defending champ. He's got a good chance to win, as does the number five horse, Ben Duke. But I actually landed on the number two, Warrior Johnny. He's 12-1 in the morning line. I played an exact key box with the two Warrior Johnny, with Ben Duke and Skippy Longstocking. So that basically means Warrior Johnny has to come in first or second, and either Ben Duke or Skippy Longstocking has to come in the other spot in the exacta. I'm going to clear my throat really quickly here, one shot, because I sound terrible right now.
All right, well, we should have cued the DJ Cool. Let me clear my throat.
You're very good. I should be good now.
All right,
now
he's back.
Okay. I had to give you a good one.
Okay, thank you. That's great radio, Chris. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I know.
Okay, anything else with horses?
Yeah, tomorrow, I said the Travers at Saratoga, the Midsummer Classic. I can't bet either Fierceness or Sierra Leone. Like, Sierra Leone always finds trouble. Doesn't matter how big the field is, whether it's start, whether it's lug-in, whether they change the bit, whether they don't change the bit. I can't find myself on this horse, nor can I find myself on Fierceness, who it's been pretty common knowledge around the horse racing industry that Todd Pletcher prefers this horse have a lot more time between races. And he ran July 27th, so it'll be less than a month since he did win the Jim Dandy, where he beat Sierra Leone. But yeah, I can't play him here. I think the pace presence with Dornock and a couple others in there might hurt him. Now, I landed on a pretty long, pretty significant long shot in here. The number four is Corporate Power, who was second in the curl in here off of a bit of a layoff. I think if you look at the way the pace presence projects, corporate power should be sitting off of what I think will be a heated pace. And a 15-1 on the morning line for Shug McGahee, who's won some big races quite often at a price in the past. I think corporate power at 15-1 is a horse that you might want to take a look at.
All right. What are you doing with week zero in college football?
Nothing.
Wow.
Absolutely. I want to play over in Florida State, Georgia Tech, but I think I'm just going to wait. I just don't trust DJ Uiagalelei, a quarterback, and with all the losses that Florida State had on offense, I just don't know. I don't think Georgia Tech's defense is any good. But again, I'm going to wait and see. I tried to talk myself into taking Delaware State plus 40, but I don't know if I want to be sitting up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching Hawaii's backups against the MEAC team. So yeah. I'm showing great restraint week zero in college football. However, you talk about it. We get tweets, we get texts. Did you see the text we just got from Mike Thomas?
Yeah, wow.
There we go.
Wait a minute.
Corporate power, his top pick. How about that?
Wow.
Never mind.
Yes.
Never mind being on the same horse as Mike Somet.
We have simpatico corporate power, everybody. That's
count
the horse.
In. I just bet it 18-1 sportsbook style.
Did you really?
There you go. Perfect.
Oh man, I'm.
But bet some week one games in college football.
Okay, what'd you bet week one?
Yeah,
we can skip ahead.
I bet LSU USC under 64. I think after all of the entire offseason with these two teams and their coaches hearing how much their defense has sucked last year. You got USC bringing in Danton Lynn from his crosstown rival, UCLA as defensive coordinator, and UCLA was a great defense last year. You got Blaine Baker at LSU, who comes in, he's like the highest paid coordinator in college football now. The narrative about how these defenses stink, but you got to remember, you got to replace two Heisman Trophy winners, one for each team at quarterback. I think under 64 was a play, and I did play Rice minus 10 against Sam Houston State. Sam Houston State, not a great go-around last year in the move to FBS. I like Rice this year as a bit of a dark horse in the AAC. E.J. Warner, Kurt Warner's son, the quarterback now, transferred from Temple. I think Mike Bloomgren's team can be very good offensively this year, and I think they'll take care of Sam Houston very handily there.
Hey, I asked this of Dr. Bob yesterday. I'll ask it of you, which is communication systems now allowed in college football, NFL style, if you will. So the days largely of, 11 guys looking over at the coach, waiting to see what's coming in and slowing down the game might be over in some cases. What kind of impact do you think this is going to have? Do you think there will be opportunities in the betting market to go? Because Bob's theory, and I believe it is, when you have up-tempo teams that are good offensively, your goal, I'll sort of paraphrase from Bob, your goal is to maximize your number of plays, therefore. So couldn't that provide a betting opportunity, theoretically?
Yeah, I think it could early on, because I'm not sure. This is the great time of the year if you're a bettor, because if you have a theory like that, I actually think it's going to result in some higher scoring games as well, because I think the offense will have the advantage over the defense there, where I don't think the odds makers can adjust the total high enough right off of the bat without really knowing truly how much of an effect this is going to happen. But I do think I like typically playing unders. I mean, I think I'm probably going to have to take a little bit more of a wait and see approach early in the year to see if this indeed does have a little bit more of a desired offensive effect. Like myself, and obviously Bob thinks it might too.
Yeah. U.S. Open, what did you do, sir?
Well, you and I had been talking, and I had mentioned last week how I bet Bedosa to win it at 50-1. I'd bet Mira Andreeva at 26-1. So I have those, and I did play Bedosa to win. And I basically just tailed you on what you had said. Bedosa to win the quarter, Kalinskaya to win the quarter. I added Mohova to win the quarter. And I did play Bedosa to reach the final at 27-1 as well. So that's where I landed on that. I don't know if I can get behind Zach's Pagula pick. There's something about I know it's just not really a scientific theory. I just can't trust her. Like it just,
yeah.
She had so many batch points that she just couldn't close things out. Like, is she all finally going to break through and win a slam at her stage in her career? Obviously, she'll have to beat the winner, most likely, of the Iga Mira.
Yeah.
So that'll be tough for her. And on the men's side, I think it's probably going to be hard to get by Alcaraz, even though an Alcaraz Jack Draper third round match could be. I think that will be prime time at Ash. That's for sure.
Have you ever gone to a prime time at Ash? By the way,
prime time at Ash? No, I have not. I've been there, walking around the grounds during the day, growing up. I haven't been there in a long time. I might try to get down there at some point in the next couple of weeks before I get super, super busy, if indeed I have a chance.
Night matches at the U.S. Open should be on everybody's bucket list. It is just, I'm such a dork. I get chills even talking about it. It's such a great sports experience. If I had a ticket, let's put it this way. If I had a ticket on a Friday night, I would fly out to get there. Of course, I'd get to playing twice and I'd miss the match, but that's how that would happen. Chris, thank you as always.
Can I give you two more things quickly?
Real quick, go.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel under 33.50.5 passing yards. That was at BetMGM. I think they're going to be in a lot of blowouts. I think you're going to see Dante Moore. And they got a really good running game. So Gabriel player prop under passing yards. And Temple under 2.5 wins this year. I don't really see three winnable games on this year.
Temple under 2.5 and Dylan Gabriel prop from Chris. Thank you, sir. The Bear, Chris Velika at Chris Velika. Bear Bets Pods, check them out. As a Big Noon starts this weekend. We'll come back. Some Warren Sharp NFL stuff next.